Hello everyone, happy new year. Neil Patel here, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. Today I speak with Neetal Parekh. She's the founder and CEO of InnovateSocial.com. It's an online platform to make it easier for people to engage in the social impact space, which is really huge at the moment. Neetal has over a decade of experience in corporate, education, non-profit, government and social enterprise. We talk about how she got started, how you can get started with social enterprise, to her volunteering work in India with her mother. She also talks about her time as a mentor, inspiring social entrepreneurs during the Startup Tech for Good weekend in San Francisco last year. Enjoy the show. Thank you very much. Hello, Neetal.
Hello.
Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Excellent. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do, please?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Neetal Parekh, and I'm the founder and CEO of Innovate Social. Mm-hmm. And it's basically an online platform to make it easier for people to engage in the social impact space.
Excellent. Where did you get the idea from?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have I've always been interested in social, in kind of social impact, or finding ways to create impact with our lives and work. So that kind of stems back even in high school and participating in the Red Cross Club, and in college, doing different internships. I had a chance to volunteer in rural India after my undergrad, and in graduate school, being part of the Public Interest Law Foundation and things like that. So it's kind of been an interest of mine. And then through my work experience, I started blogging a lot professionally and doing a lot in the social media space. So blogging became kind of a good platform for me to explore new topics. And as I was learning about social entrepreneurship, the legal structures and business models and, you know, resources for startups that are interested in this space, it all started as a blog. And then in the last 6-8 months has really kind of become more of a kind of a startup, or, you know, like a company and a full endeavor in that way. So cool.
Is it just yourself doing it, or is it the team behind you as well?
I have a global team. I'm the person that's working on it full time, but I definitely have people all around, and I've worked with amazing people in India and South Africa, all across the US. So that's been exciting and a fun way to connect as well.
Excellent. What's like the main features of the website then?
Yeah, so the main things are, it's basically, I the way I've kind of thought about it is like, how can we remove the friction to engage in the space? Because there are, I think of the social entrepreneurship and social impact space as a funnel. And deeper in the funnel, there are many, and there are some really amazing resources, whether they be conferences or academic journals and things like that. But at the top of the funnel, just to invite people into the space and introduce people to terms and opportunities, I felt like there was a gap there. So everything I create is to kind of, to help that part of the funnel. So to that end, the kind of product lines I think of, as I think of it, are there's a podcast, a blog. Yep. The podcast is with thinkers and doers in the space who can tell their personal stories. So I think a lot of things are framed when you know someone's story. There's a new book that just came out called 51 Questions on Social Entrepreneurship. And it's a FAQ of common questions and responses, but it's also a story itself. It's told in the story format, so it makes it kind of more accessible. There's a new online class called 8 Things Everyone Should Know About Social Entrepreneurship. And one of the really exciting things, and kind of the things that probably relates to your work, is there's this idea of getting these resources out through lists and in kind of dynamic lists that people can contribute to, lists of fellowship programs, of books, of different things, so we can start centralizing that information and make it really easy so people can find what they're looking for. So that's what we've just pushed those out, 30 plus lists in the last month. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how people engage with that and what we can create from that, you know, having some of that information in one place. So
what's the state of social entrepreneurship in 2016? Is it in a good place or a bad place?
That's a good question. I think it's in kind of an exciting place, because I think it's beyond being at the very nascent early stages. It's that, you know, that it's been around now for some time. So now we're seeing like kind of the next stage of, you know, maturation, if you kind of think of it. So you see legal structures, like in the US, there are 31 states or jurisdictions that have a legal structure for a for-profit business that has an impact motivation. And the ancillary to that, the B Corporations, there's a certification that's global. We're seeing new countries all around the world kind of invite that into their space to have, you know, local businesses be able to become B Corp certified. There's globally, it's emerging and evolving very differently. And we talk about this a little bit in the book too, but different countries have different social, situations that kind of call for different types of social entrepreneurship. So if you look at a country such as Japan or China, there's an aging population. Mm-hmm. So there's, and then you look at other countries like in the Middle East and other places where there is, they call it a youth bulge. There's mm-hmm. a bulge, so all of those kind of social situations create different calls to action for social entrepreneurs because the issues are different. And so the ways that governments and local investors support, local social entrepreneurs mm-hmm. is kind of different. And so that makes it kind of interesting.
Cool. I mean, can you share any milestones or achievements during your time?
That's great. So in the last 6 months, I think though this blog has been around for 4 years, I think what's happened in the last 6 months has been a lot of the products have been built mm-hmm. in that way. Like, so there were interviews, but it wasn't a podcast, and now it's a podcast mm-hmm. and available on the different platforms. The class was just a little idea, mm-hmm. and now it's available. And the book has been something that's taken years, and mm-hmm. I think for the milestones have been in actually creating and offering these products. And I think with every milestone, I think it only welcomes the next challenge. So I think mm-hmm. now the next the next kind of thing is thinking, how do we reach our audiences? And we chatted a little bit about this before the interview too, but now that these things are kind of out in the world, finding the best ways to reach the audiences that it really can impact, affect, and really care about mm-hmm. about these things. So
yeah, you seem quite busy. I mean, what are you specifically working on right now then?
So right now, it's actually, I spent a number of hours yesterday contacting local bookstores and local news organizations okay. about the book. So mm-hmm. That's also a new part. I've never published a book, and okay. this is independently published. So yeah. So it's almost like now hitting the ground running. I've done a few interviews this week, mm-hmm. which is exciting. And I've been accepted into a fellowship program called the Starting Block Fellowship, which will take place in Los Angeles mm-hmm. in February. So yeah, so now just kind of getting excited about this next stage, and also trying to find a little bit of balance. So it all makes sense.
Yeah. How do people get hold of the book?
So the book is available on Amazon mm-hmm. and Kindle, and you can find out more and get a free excerpt on 51questions.com. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the class. I mean, how many people have signed up?
So right now it's been released just about a month ago, okay. and there's not much marketing behind it. So just a handful of people. The reviews have been good. Mm-hmm. Helpful, but yeah, now finding ways to let people know. And again, it's just another way to engage in the content, because I think you just never know how people engage in content. You can't necessarily assume that everyone reads blog posts mm-hmm. or listens to podcasts or reads books. They may prefer to kind of have a live class or a class that they can engage in.
So is this an offline class or is it an online class?
It's an online class. Okay. It's through Udemy.
Okay. You actually started as an attorney, is that right?
Yes. So my background is in law.
Is that what you always wanted to do?
I don't know that I always wanted to do that, which is funny because I'm not exactly, conventionally practicing law. Yeah. But I think I loved the idea of international law. Mm-hmm. And so I even had a chance to study abroad in Geneva mm-hmm. and Strasbourg at the UN, connected with the UN and stuff. So I think it was the idea of representing people and issues and things like that was exciting. So. Mm-hmm.
And you said you did some volunteering work in India. Where was that and what did you do?
Yeah, so it was in Pooj, which is in rural Gujarat, okay. a central state in India. And basically it was 2 years after a major earthquake there. After the 2001 earthquake. And so it was at a place that was creating a boarding school and some kind of trying to build schools in that area. So they were literally in their makeshift campus with kind of mud huts and things mm-hmm. like that. And And I and other volunteers, we taught English classes and also volunteered in the office. So I had two classes of students of, you know, fifth standard girls class and an adult class, which we were for teaching English. And it was really an amazing experience. I think I definitely probably learned more or gained more than I was able to offer. So
excellent. Any highlights?
You know, one of the most special things about that time was my mom actually came with me, and that was kind of amazing because
that's got to be a first.
It was, and because you know, having grown up in India, she volunteer work was important and everything, but she had not gone to like rural places and volunteered like this before. So it was a really special thing that we got to do together. So I think that was really cool.
Excellent. So as regarding the website, then how do you attract customers to the website? You know, do you have any specific channels that you use, email marketing or social media?
Yeah. My background is partially in social media. Mm-hmm. So I've been using that a lot. And you may have heard of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay, yeah.
But if you ever view his shows or anything, he's kind of all about be where your audience is. Don't think your audience will find you where you are. So I think kind of taking that to heart, especially in the last 6 months, I kind of just started creating presence on social media via the main, the main social media platforms that I think would be valuable. So there's a, you know, presence on Instagram, on Medium, Twitter, you know, Pinterest, you know, via blog, Facebook. So, Twitter. So in that way, you know, kind of reaching the audiences where they are has been effective. And it's been really interesting because you really see that each of these audiences, they are a little different. The behaviors of the way these social media platforms, you know, kind of how people interact and engage is different. So there's a lot of learning that happens too, you know, which is great.
Mm-hmm. I believe you attended the Startup Weekend as a mentor.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I've done a few Startup Weekends. Startup Weekend is really a great experience. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people, if they're exploring entrepreneurship, to check out that or other programs like it. But I went a few years back as a participant and then have participated in a couple and then had a chance to mentor recently. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because I think it just shows you that sometimes even in a short time, you know, for there it's 52 hours, like amazing things and amazing amounts of work can happen if everyone is kind of focused and working on it. So sometimes we think, oh, like, my little idea, my entrepreneurship idea is going to take years and years and I'll have to find this and do that. And then you go to this event and in a weekend, you can have some prototype of an app. Like in one that I participated in, we actually had like a wireframe of an app that we could show the audience like on a phone that was, you know, that was available. I mean, it's amazing the kinds of things that you can do. And of course, you know, you have to have team members that all have different skill sets. But I think it's a great way to like take that initial step that is the most daunting in entrepreneurship is getting started, you know, and you're with a bunch of people who are also in that kind of exploratory phase and also are ready to kind of put in the hours that weekend and just see, you know, what they can make out of it.
Were there any good projects that you can talk about?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a great little film made by this film company called Forward Films, and it's a little mini documentary, and if you just YouTube Startup Weekend Tech for Good, I think it should come up. But so in that, you'll some of the groups, they were working on such interesting ideas. Like one of them was thinking about how do you make blood donation easier. So they looked at the kind of the current situation of blood donation, and right now you have to go sign up, go to a location, you know, and see if they need, you know, then go and check out if they need your blood. There's all these things that can, you know, all of us probably have an intention. If it was easy to give blood, we would maybe do it more often. So they said, what if you combine things like a transportation to the location, like kind of thinking an Uber for blood donation, with things like using apps and different ways that you'll know which location needs the type of blood that you have. And so just removing those and then, you know, making it so that it, you know, like the hours that you're available, that is when that, you know, the blood can be accepted versus, you know, just trying to fit into the hours that, you know, that are at the clinic or whatever. So it was really fascinating, and it, it came from a very real story of one of the founders, you know, who had an experience with his grandfather in, you know, abroad trying to get regular blood donation for, you know, for his disease. So I mean, I think that's the other thing that's really interesting, especially with social entrepreneurship, is these ideas often stem from personal and, you know, like very real stories.
Excellent. So you were a mentor then. What questions did they ask you? Can you remember?
Yeah. So as a mentor, we were able to hear the pitches and give feedback. Mm. And because we've all been down this path of entrepreneurship and pitching and things like that, I think it's that we could kind of give them, you know, the friendly, constructive, but feedback, but along with the kind of questions, because we knew that the judges, I mean, that once you get into that, the judging time, it's a pretty short time. You have to, that they have to tell their story and then respond. So it's really important for them to put their best information first, you know? So sometimes by telling us, someone who's not on their team, we can kind of provide that, ask the questions about like, hey, so what is your target market? Or how are you going to reach that? Or, you know, one of the, you know, like, you know, questions related to kind of their topic. How are you going to measure impact around this? So those things are kind of helpful. And it's things that they've definitely probably considered in the process, but they might not have articulated it or, you know, found a way to express it in effectively. So
excellent. Last two questions. What books or blogs do you read? I know you mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah. So books and blogs, there's a number of really great books that I've read in preparation for writing this book. So, and there's a good list on Innovate Social, but a few of the ones is, there's one called Great from the Start, and that's from John Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And there are a few, and I'm now, of course, now you've asked me and I'm forgetting them, but there's some really great books, and there's a whole list of like 100 plus books on the site. And then blogs, I really kind of get information from lots of cool blogs. So I look at Huffington Post Impact and Mashable for Good, you know, just kind of, and there's for the legal side, there's SoCent. There's a great SoCent Law, which is a great one. And so, yeah, so there's just a number. Triple Pundit has a great blog. So, yeah, so some really good resources. And this, you know, SSIR, Stanford Social Innovation Review, has a great online presence as well.
Excellent. What advice would you give to social entrepreneurs wanting to start something?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I hope come to the website.
Do the course, yeah.
You'll find something that will be useful to you in some way. You know, that's really great. And I would say, for someone thinking about creating a business with an impact motivation, there hasn't ever been a better time. I mean, being able to leverage technology to lower costs to make things happen, in addition to being able to measure impact in new ways, I think it's just a really incredible time. And I think that even seeing the emergence of this space is showing that there's this kind of greater shift in consciousness happening of the what kinds of businesses we want to collectively create. So I think there hasn't been a better time. And if you can do a combination of read, learn about things, and then also just jump in and get started, I think that'll be, you know, effective, because doing one of the other too much might make it a you know, not a positive experience. But if you kind of do a combination of always trying to be a sponge and learn as much as you can, but then not being afraid to just, you know, jump in and get started, I think will be a good combination.
Jump in and get started. Yeah. Wise words. Last question then, for people who want to get more information on Innovate Social, what must they do?
Yeah, so you can definitely visit the website. It's INNOV8, as in the number, social.com. And that's also the handle over social media. And you can always, you just email and contact to get in touch. You can just contact at innovatesocial.com. Works great. But yeah, no, it's great to meet people like you who are so excited and motivated and telling these stories of people all around the world. This is really exciting. And I think this is one of my favorite parts of, and I wonder for you too, of being, of kind of doing something on your own, is the kind of people that you get to meet along the way. So
thank you very much, Neetal. The check's in the post. thank you very much, Neetal. I really enjoyed the last 20 minutes. It's gone pretty quick. And all the best. Good luck for you. And all the best for 2016.
Great. Thank you so much. And same to you.
Thank you very much. So that's Neetal. And if you'd like to know more, you can go to our website, innovatesocial.com. If you have any feedback on the show, please email me at hello@neilpatel.co or go to the facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Thank you and goodbye.